This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go!
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, so Lombardi Line, as we welcome you in here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, we're brought to you by BetMGM. Patrick Maher live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. So we're just, 3 days away from the trade deadline. Wanted to bring this up quickly. 76ers head of basketball operations, the president there, Maury, reached out to the Brooklyn Nets GM, Sean Marks, right? So he called him up. I guess this was a couple of weeks ago. And Maury said, well, what about James? And Marks responded, James who? Because the Nets do have James Johnson and James Harden. And Maury said, James Harden. And Marks said, no. Now, this is the conversation that you and I had a little bit yesterday. Simmons for Harden, is that in the works? I don't see at this point, if you've watched Harden, now he is banged up, but the idea of not moving on, they've got to change something there with the Nets. They absolutely must change something. They've lost 8 straight now.
Well, I think that conversation was, I believe, on January the 13th, and a lot has changed since then. We are now, you know, February the 7th, and I'm sure that the Nets have been able to see Harden's lack of defense or lack of intensity on the defensive end, and it could be related to injury, but we've seen this before with Harden. I think the fundamental question you've got to ask yourself as an executive, as a fan, is you want to pay Harden the supermax contract for the next 5 years and have it buttoned up guaranteed? Obviously, Maury doesn't have a problem with doing it, but Maury's going to have to get rid of Tobias Harris. He's going to have to shift Tobias Harris off to the Oklahoma City Thunder, hoping they'll take that bad contract. We might call the Oklahoma Thunder the Oklahoma Elton Brands because all his bad contracts are headed up over there. So that move has to take place. I mean, it certainly can fit within this year's cap, but they get over the luxury tax when they extend him. So, you know, I think what we're seeing is a lot of posturing. And I think both teams are very good at playing the media. You know, there's a direct link between what we read in the paper that comes from sources unnamed, or as Art Modell used to call, Saul Source, you know, the guy who picks up, you know, anything comes out of it. But, I mean, and the 76ers are basically saying, we're not interested in doing anything that doesn't meet what we want, which they have to say. And the Nets are saying, we're not going to do anything that we don't want to do because we're going to sign them to an extension. I think whoever gets left holding the chair of Harden for the 5-year extension is going to regret it 3 years from now. You know, I just really think they are.
I totally agree.
They're going to win. They're going to win the day. They're going to win the day. It's funny, you know. I'm writing a chapter on the trades of the National Football League, and I was writing this morning about the Herschel Walker trade when Mike Lynn, the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, really put together a unique package and shipped it on. When that trade was first consummated, the Vikings were thought to have won the deal. You know, because the year before, Herschel Walker was one of 10 players in the National Football League to gain over 2,000 combined yards, 1,517 rushing, another 500 receiving. And he was the missing link to their football team to give them a legitimate running back. And the Vikings, after him having 1 day of practice and 2.5 hours on the practice field studying 12 plays, took the field and went off. But to me, as that trade went on, it became obviously poor for Mike Lynn and poor for the Vikings. And great for Jimmy Johnson to rebuild his football team. This is what I think Harden's contract's going to look like. It's going to be whoever signs him, it's going to say, well, we got a great player. But do you have a great player 3 and 4 years down when you're paying him all this money and you're going to have to liquidate the team?
Is there a chapter on Ricky Williams and the Ditka trade?
I don't know if I'm going to write that one. I mean, the first one that I've written so far today was I'm going to write the Herschel Walker deal, but I want to break them down a little bit so people understand the point of view of the trade, right? It's so easy to look back in history and judge it from the lens of today without understanding what's going on during the period. I mean, so the first trade I wrote about was the John Hadel trade that went to from the Rams to the Green Bay Packers, where the Packers, it's called the Lawrence Welk trade, and that's because when Lawrence Welk would start his show, it would be a one, then a two, and a three. Well, this trade was a one, two ones, two twos, and a three. And that's what, and they traded John Hadel for those, all those picks, when Hadel was the backup for the Rams. And 10 days earlier, which is fascinating, Hadel played against the Packers and looked horrendous. And he got benched by the Rams for James Harris. And James Harris went on to be their starter. And then yet Dan Devine, who would leave after the season to become the head coach at Notre Dame, makes this trade anyway.
You know, nobody can speak on this better than you. It's cutting your nose to spite your face. I want to get into the free agents and the quarterbacks. But as far as this draft class, so teams are going to start talking themselves into Malik Willis. They're going to talk themselves into Pickett, you know, Carson Strong and others. Next year's draft class is awesome. You know, Stroud and Young and Richardson, the kid you like down there in Florida. So it's a much better class. But it comes down to, if you're a general manager, well, you can speak to this. Do you have a coach coaching for his life and his job? Like, there's so much that goes into, can we wait and be more fortuitous next year with drafting a quarterback? Or do we have to go now to sell our fan base something? It's a fascinating kind of conundrum.
Well, if the guy can't play, it's not going to help you anyway. Right? It's like, okay, we drafted Kellen Mond to replace Kirk Cousins. If he can't play, did we really draft him to replace him? I mean, he can't play. And I think that's how you have to take. I mean, I was talking to a guy in the league yesterday who just got back from the Senior Bowl in the East-West, and he's like, there's no quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, you know, the kid from Liberty is probably going to take a year to get ready. He may go first. You know, Pickett looks like he could be. He's got very small hands. You know, he looks like he could be a backup. And are some of these guys better than the players that they already have on their team? I think that's a real hard question. That's a question you can only answer. Just because they're new doesn't mean they solve the problem. And I think we know quarterbacks are going to get fixed. I mean, Desmond Ridder, what he did at the Senior Bowl is kind of what he did during his career at Cincinnati. There's enough to really like, and then there's enough to disappoint. It's just not consistent enough. And that inconsistencies make you worry. I mean, look, remember when the Brownies drafted Kaiser from Notre Dame? Oh, they got a steal in the second round. They still didn't have a quarterback, you know?
Yeah. If you have to talk yourself into marriage, you're probably marrying the wrong person. If you have to talk yourself into a quarterback, my goodness. Like, nothing special from Pickett, Corral, Willis. No offense to them, but this is a big step up. And next year, you do have, I mean, you know, Young from Alabama. We mentioned C.J. Stroud, who had a great year there at Ohio State. Richardson's a freaky talent. Like, you do have higher upside coming out next year in the college draft.
Yeah, but you know how it always goes is nobody wants to talk about next year, right? Nobody wants to, you know, but you've got to be, as a general manager, you're going to have to talk about next year. And you're going to have to talk about, you know, how do you plan to bridge this team? And this is why I think the Raiders made a huge mistake before the whole Gruden thing fell apart by not drafting a quarterback. They took Leatherwood in the first round. They overreached for Leatherwood. They could have easily had, you know, a quarterback so that they could prepare themselves for the inevitable, what are they going to do with Derek Carr? It's the same thing in Cleveland. What are we going to do with Baker Mayfield? You know, like, are we going to, you know, we can't get rid of him, but we really don't want to sign him. And those are dilemmas, and that we're seeing more and more of this.
Yeah, the Raiders number, by the way, here at the South Point for 2023 Super Bowl, I'll give you that right now. Their number, if you want to take a stab at it, you can take a guess.
Raiders number would be 25-1.
Okay, you're very close. 30-1. I kind of like the vibe. I love the DC that he brought in. McDaniel seems fired up about the gig. He was very complimentary of Carr, so I would imagine that is a union that they're going to try to make work, right? Isn't that the assumption?
No doubt. They have to make, I mean, look, you've got to make it work. It's the Art Modell theory of hiring. Once again, there's 50 things Carr does really well. There's three things he does bad. If you get rid of him for those three things, the guy you're bringing in can't do 50 things good. So you're going to have to love the one you're with. And that's what I think they have to do with the Raiders. There's as much as you say, get them out of here. You know, one of the things that creates bad trades is the whole notion of get them out of the building. Well, let's just get this guy out. We got to get rid of him. And that's when you do that, you make a bad trade. And when you make a decision like that over a player, you're going to make a bad decision.
Give me a quarterback you scouted that ended up being a disaster that to this day surprises you. I'll start Heath Shuler.
Okay.
Heath Shuler at Tennessee. I swear to you, I don't know why. I just thought he was going to be a baller. He very much was not a baller.
You know, the guy that I thought was going to be a really good player, I kept walking around the Raiders facility saying, you know, why is Leftwich a first rounder and Rohan Davey not? Like, to me, Rohan Davey is better than Leftwich, right? And I kept saying that. And what I learned from that mistake was both of them weren't good enough. Like, when you compare a player to another player and the player you're comparing isn't good enough, then you basically have two negatives. And so this is the problem with the Hall of Fame, is you're sitting there saying, well, if this guy gets in, then this guy should get in because he's better than him. Well, if he's not really worthy, why are we comparing him to that guy? This is the mistake that goes on with that's why when you don't have a criteria, you can't make good decisions. That would be the one that jumps out to me immediately.
That's a good one.
And I mean, the one that resonates the most is we had a scout at the Raiders, Angie Coya, who passed away. He's from Northeast Philly here. 10 500-meter guy, went to the Citadel, then transferred to USC. He loved Roethlisberger. We had the second pick in the draft. We didn't take him.
See, Roethlisberger is an interesting case because at Miami of Ohio, he was athletic as all get out. Especially
right, he played in that shotgun,
yes.
That spread. And we weren't really ready. We didn't do a good job evaluating that situation very well. I'll say that.
I thought he was spectacular in college. Now he's playing against lesser competition, but I think people, if you asked a 20-year-old, what do you think about Roethlisberger's movement? They wouldn't know that he was an athlete coming into the league.
Yep.
He just became,
no doubt.
He became sedentary. Okay.
Yeah.
There is a guy, and we don't have a coach in New Orleans, but we have a quarterback that is a free agent. I want to ask you about him. And then also, what can the 49ers get for Garoppolo, and where's a likely landing spot? Plenty to do as we continue here on the Lombardi Line. What are we, 6 days out from Super Bowl 56? Can't get here fast enough. Excited for it as we continue. Also, Josh is going to join us coming up in just a little bit as well. Come on back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
You know that VSiN is the best place to get all of the betting insights for the big game. And right now, you can sign up for our free, again, this is free, which is killer, big game betting guide. Betting insights for the big game, trends, strategies, props, tips from the experts. They've worked their butts off for this. You're going to love the betting guide. Go to vsin.com/Super Bowl to get your free betting guide right now. It's vsin.com/Super Bowl. the biggest betting action of the year. We're going to have you covered. We've got so much coverage. Again, we've got the help desk set up at VSiN.com if you have any questions. You know, sometimes new bettors can be a little intimidated to ask. Don't be intimidated. That's what we're here for. So go to VSiN.com, and you can send in your request at the help desk there. We might even get it read on the air or answered over at VSiN.com. So strategies, prop strategies, hedging, all of that up over at VSiN.com. Okay. To further, and Michael Lombardi there, to further illustrate the quarterback conundrum, let's use Washington as an example. Okay. So Washington eventually, and you've talked about it, he's over. I don't want to get it. What happened with Ron is, you know, he had cancer, so we always have to start there. And he's battled, and he's certainly Rivera's supposed to be a really good guy. But he's got to win in year three, Michael. They need a quarterback. Yeah. How about Jimmy Garoppolo? He's 30 years old. He's under contract. But then they'll draft somebody. So you kind of get into this tenuous spot of Jimmy Garoppolo is going to want a long-term deal, yet they don't look at him as a future. You see what I'm saying? That's a weird stopgap situation.
And I think you have a lot of teams that are going to be interested in Garoppolo. I mean, I read the report. Well, the Jets are interested in him to be a backup. I mean, like, that's a great – that was a great column. Like, seriously, like – you know, the San Francisco is going to have a lot of teams that they can compete against one another for Garoppolo's services. And I think where you get a little bit of a desperation here is a team that needs a quarterback badly, that kind of needs to save their season moving forward, is going to look at this draft and say, well, you know, we have the 20th pick in the first round and we're not going to get a quarterback here. So is it worth it to trade our one for Garoppolo? We're overpaying for it, but at least we get the guy and we know we have him. I think that's what San Francisco's holding out to do. And I think there's enough teams in this league that are so desperate to get a quarterback. I mean, you know, some are kidding themselves and thinking they have one. Some are not. But, you know, when you break it down, that's why the Lions are going to re-sign. You know, they're going to keep Jared Goff because it's who else are we going to go to? The Falcons, you know, are they going to keep Matt Ryan? You know, is he going to go into that pool? You know, what's Indianapolis going to do if they know Carson Wentz is where he is? So I think Denver, you know, they've got to fix their quarterback situation. Where are they going with that? There's some teams that just can't really function next year if they don't fix the quarterback position. And, you know, the Bucs, for example, now, you know, they got to. The Saints, where are they going? You know, Carolina's got some issues. They either got to make Sam Darnold play better, or they got to find somebody else. You know, the whole South doesn't have quarterbacks. So what San Francisco's trying to do is to create competition, whether it's Denver, whether it's, you know, Indianapolis, Carolina, some other team, Washington, that can then increase the value. Pittsburgh can increase the value of Garoppolo in terms of a trade.
The pendulum has swung so much on the narrative surrounding Jimmy Garoppolo, that to me, you can do a hell of a lot worse. Like, again, this can be debated. I'd take him over Goff. I know I'm probably in the minority. I'd take him over Darnold, who you just mentioned. No offense to what's happening in Carolina. And then that brings us to Jameis Winston. Now, there's been conversation potentially him going back to Tampa, obviously, with Tom Brady retiring. I don't know if that's the case, but he is a free agent. How about Jameis?
Well, he's got value because he started games. I mean, you know, look, when Mike Glennon can continue to get jobs in the league, starting games does matter to some of these teams. And, you know, I would suspect that Winston's going to have a value. Now, how much value? I don't think a lot. You know, in terms of, is he going to get $30 million? No, of course not. Is he going to get $15 million? I doubt that. But will he get a contract with that will pay on the come? I mean, I think he probably will. You know, what's Marcus Mariota going to get? When you look over these quarterbacks that are available in the marketplace, right, and you see who could be available, and, you know, and then when you look at it and you say, okay, where are we going with this? Is, you know, would we rather have, I mean, watch, Mitchell Trubisky is going to get action, you know? Mitchell Trubisky will get out. You say, gosh, but, you know, I mean,
no, you're right.
There's just not a lot of them.
It's a
He's
dearth of
get
talent.
Action.
It's a position that is so valuable, and there's a dearth of
Marcus
talent.
Marcus Mariota, Mitchell Trubisky, these two guys are free. They're free. They come with no cost attached. And so, you know, free, as we all love, is better than paying a higher price for, say, a Garoppolo. You know, and what quarterback is going to get traded right now? If you're Chris Ballard and you're sitting there in Indianapolis and you have Carson Wentz, and you love Ellinger, but you know Ellinger's arm strength and his ability to play over 16 games may not be good enough. Where are you going? Where's Watson going? I mean, that's the other one that we have over here on the side is what's
Watson going to do? Are you hearing anything about Deshaun Watson?
Nothing. Not a thing.
Nothing. Yeah, I haven't either. I don't think we're going to for a while, to be fair. I mean, the idea that
there was... I think that's a February conversation.
Yeah. The idea that there was some that thought he might be involved in the league this past season was incredible. No, that wasn't happening. But as this gets deeper and deeper, it's so convoluted. And the league has... There's a lot that goes... It's a very delicate situation. You know the irony? 2015, 1 and 2 drafted Winston and then Mariota. And now at, 28 years old, they're both... Teams are wondering if they should take a flyer on them.
They're journeymen. I mean, and Mariota had the can't miss label attached to him. You know, the one that I you got to give the Eagles a lot of credit for making the Minshew trade. And again, I don't think Minshew is great. But if you said to me Minshew, Baker Mayfield, I'm thinking about that. And if I have to think, it's closer than you think, right? And so give them credit; they have two, and I'm sure that they probably think they can flip Minshew into something else. Especially considering that they paid so little for him. And Jacksonville just gave him away. They basically just gave him away for no real reason. I mean, you know, they really didn't have a reason to give him away.
Take a shot at the Philadelphia Eagles 2023 Super Bowl odds.
25-1.
You just nailed it. Congratulations. 25-1 here at the South Point. There was, you know, the Saints are in such a predicament because that's a real salary cap wise. It's a tough situation. They don't have a head coach. Are you hearing anything? Their quarterback situation's in flux. Did Bieniemy do well? Like, is there an end coming as far as their head coach search here soon for the Saints?
You would think so. And, I mean, you would think it would happen fairly quickly here this week. I would suspect by Wednesday of this week you'd want to get something, because if the Texans do, in fact, hire Lovie Smith and move forward with that, then you're the last one remaining and you want to align your assistants. Now, they've been limiting their assistants to go out and talk to people. So we'll see what that happens. I mean, Mike McDaniel's going to start to get his staff going. You know, would think Lovie Smith would start. So all these assistants are going to be jockeying for position. So I think that it would make sense to get this done so that you can kind of give you a couple weeks to prepare. The combine's at the end of this month.
That's another thing that you've always discussed, and it's not overrated a head coach, but underrated is the staff he can put together. McDaniel's direct tie to Shanahan seemingly would limit him as far as putting together a pretty robust staff.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to have to, but remember now, in Miami, he already has a defensive staff.
That's right.
In place.
They kept it in place.
Place, so he doesn't have to worry it. Now he's just got to make sure he finds a line coach, which is going to be critical to him. A line coach that is well versed in his system, right? So when Salai went back to the Jets, you know, Kyle allowed him to take his main line coach and let him become the line coach, and he promoted Forrester, who was basically the assistant. And Forrester had been with Kyle for years. He had that problem in Miami, kind of cleaned himself up and has become much better. But I think ultimately, you know, that's going to be the key hire for Mike McDaniel. Where is he going to get a zone, a Kyle Shanahan disciple in this offensive line, which is absolutely critical to the success of what he wants to do?
Mike McDaniel in there with the Dolphins. You mentioned Salah. I saw a clip him talking about everybody that talks about McDaniel. They go on and just flower him with praise. Salah said he's a genius. So, and Salah obviously worked with him early on, I think down in Houston when they were both kids. And Salah was talking yesterday about McDaniels and said he's a genius. So, and Kyle Shanahan's a pretty bright guy. He brought him with him every stop along the way, Michael.
Everywhere, yeah. So, I mean, obviously he has great respect for him. And like I said, I mean, he's developed himself as a person and as a coach over the years.
I didn't realize, is my man that was had the issues down in Miami, I use that lightly, is he in San Francisco coaching the offensive line? Is that what
he
said?
He is.
If he can turn it around after that video surfaced, anybody can turn it around.
And he got it going. I mean, he's an outstanding football coach. He had some personal issues in his life. Hopefully, they've got that squared. He's got that squared away. But he is a really good line coach, and that's something they need to improve. I think there's no doubt. If you basically break down the 49ers, their inability in the offensive line to really control the game has been the biggest problem.
But Shanahan's going to be super paranoid about McDaniel. He's going to be like, you're not poaching my staff.
Taking Forrester, I can tell you that. He's not taking Forrester with
you little hipster.
He was already in Miami. That's where he had the problems.
He ain't going back to South Beach. That is persona non grata for my man. I think he got a little too much fun down there. Okay, we continue. Josh Applebaum joins us. If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google it. Trust me, it'll be fun if it's the first time you're seeing it. We come back, Josh, next here at Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, if you're getting ready to watch the big game, we want you to make sure that we are involved. This is, again, our sixth annual live big game betcast. We've got, from now until the game, over 56 hours of free video coverage. We've just got so much going on right now for this big game. I know behind the scenes, we've got meetings going on after the show with our buddy Matt Santos. So we're going to have you covered. We're going to be here Saturday and Sunday for the Lombardi Line. But on top of that, coverage 24/7 here on VSiN, VSiN.com. So again, get ready for the big game. For everything you need, go to VSiN.com. Michael Lombardi there as we get closer and closer. I know that people keep killing the matchup. For me, yeah. It's like I can't get enough of this matchup. Coaches from
all
the coaching tree.
Are good.
I mean, there's nothing.
I mean, the compelling story is Cincinnati's been outstanding. I mean, they found ways to win three games when perhaps they may not have been the best team in the three. You could argue they were favorites against Cincinnati, against Las Vegas, but the other two they weren't, and yet they found a way to win. So give them credit, and they've earned their way here. Nobody gave it to them.
No, absolutely
nobody gave
not.
It to them.
No, absolutely not. Josh Applebaum joins now. Market Insights is the pod. VSiN.com/podcast. 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Josh Applebaum. We finally got hockey back. Just a couple of games today, Josh. But we're going to start here with the Super Bowl. Everybody's betting Burrow to win the MVP, correct?
They really are, Patrick, Michael. Great to be with you. Super Bowl week finally upon us here. So just want to get Michael's take and kind of, you know, dive through these numbers that we just got from BetMGM. We got a fresh batch of data here. And I think, you know, from a high level standpoint, you know, when it comes to Super Bowl MVP, it's one of the most popular prop bets that the public gets down on. And really, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of a chalky award. If you go just the last decade here, guys, 7 out of 10 of these award winners have been quarterbacks. 7 out of the 10 award winners also were plus 500 or less. So if you look at pretty much who that equates to and who that matches with, it's obviously your two quarterbacks here, Stafford and Burrow. But really what we're seeing here is a big percentage of bets and dollars on Burrow, kind of a sharp bet split. Burrow's getting 18.5% of tickets at BetMGM for Super Bowl MVP, but he's getting 30% of the handle.
Wow.
So that really tells us that some of these bigger wagers, yeah, Patrick, are coming in on Burrow. You know, Burrow's kind of in that spot that Tom Brady was in last year where, you know, Mahomes was like Stafford, the favorite. Brady won this award last year, plus 190. So Burrow, you know, if you're getting plus 210, shop around, you might find a better number there. That would be kind of your match here. And guys, I think the whole point is, like, you know, we all want to cash, like, you know, Julian Edelman from a few years ago in that 13-3 game. He was 25-1. You know, Von Miller's 50-1. OBJ's 25-1. Mixon's 35-1. But if you try not to outsmart yourself too much, it's typically the quarterback. It's typically, you know, one of your two favorites here. And Michael, Burrow is really taking in a ton of the bets and dollars.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, if they're going to win, it's going to be because of Burrow. It's going to be because of the kicker. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they don't give it to kickers. Even Jim O'Brien made the kick to win Super Bowl V for the Baltimore Colts. He didn't win the award. So, but if you want to say truly and who is the MVP of the Bengals this year, you could argue that it's been McPherson in the playoff run for the amount of kicks that he's made. You know, we've talked about it earlier in the show. It's just remarkable that he is, you know, he's got 13 field goals he's made this year, you know, and the opponents have only made 6. And there lies the difference. I mean, they are only outscoring their opponent by 13 points. And yet they have 6 more field goals, which, you know, 6, that's 18 points. So it's just really been his ability to make a difference in the game, which aligns with who is the most valuable player. Well, certainly it is. I mean, Vinatieri didn't win it the year that he made the kick to beat the Rams. Brady won it. So it always comes back to quarterbacks.
And that is a perfect segue into Josh's prop for McPherson, which we were discussing a little bit earlier. You're going to go over the 1.5 made, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a perfect segue here, Michael. You kind of stole the words right out of my mouth. I'm looking at McPherson as a prop bet. This is kind of one of my early prop bets, guys. McPherson, over 1.5 field goals made. So shop around. I got a minus 145. We're showing minus 150. Remember, we're in legalization now. There's different books, different numbers. No matter what you like, shop around, get the best number. But, Michael, you're totally right. Fifth round pick out of Florida, had a great regular season, has been unstoppable here in the playoffs. He's 12 of 12 in terms of field goals, 4 of 4 against Kansas City, 4 of 4 against Tennessee, and 4 and 4 against Vegas. But I also think it's important, guys, when you're betting these props, don't just bet it because the guy's doing well recently. Like, map it out in your brain how this is going to work out. My thing here would be, number one, you're in a dome. So automatically in a dome, perfect conditions for the kicker. Number two, the total's falling in this game. Open around 50-ish, we're down to 48.5. Does that mean when we get to the red zone, maybe we're going to have some more threes instead of sevens? So that would portend to, hey, McPherson getting a couple kicks here. And then also, you know, looking at this spot, a guy who's playing well in a dome, in a total that's falling, to me, that shows value on McPherson. Michael, I'm on the over 1.5. I think you can get us 2 or more field goals here.
You know, I kind of agree with it. I like it. I think, to me, you know, he's made so many kicks. He's been their guy. And so why not? You know, I mean, they're not going to all of a sudden just become this incredible scoring team. You know, they have struggled through the red zone. So I think there's no doubt. I mean, why not? 1.5 isn't a lot. I mean, he's got 13 kicks in 3 games.
And
you know, that's a lot of kicks.
And they just have confidence in him. So if there's that tweener that Taylor's debating, the confidence coming in on him making them, like you mentioned, going into the half on that 50-plus yarder. I agree, fellas. I think over 1.5. You're going to pay juice. You're going to pay 155 now on the over. So for new bettors, 155 bucks wins you 100. But I think 2 field goals. You mentioned 4 in each game, Josh. Okay. One college game, it's a top 25 matchup. I'm glad that you have that on your list here because we got Thomas's take, we got Will's take, and now let's get your take on Kansas traveling to Texas tonight. It's Kansas laying 1.5, Josh.
Yeah, so I would mention real quick, you know, Texas kind of would be that hazmat contrarian play, guys. But in this sort of situation, you have a lot of indicators going to Kansas. Now, number one, this game flipped kind of dog to favorite toward Kansas. Kansas open actually getting a point here on the road at Texas. We've seen the line now flip to -1.5. So even though it's kind of a big public play, you're also getting some respected money that hopped on that number a little bit earlier. Also, one thing, guys, I dialed up, you know, our two ranked teams. You know, does the edge lie with dog or favorite? Well, it really relies on the favorite here, guys. Two ranked teams going head-to-head. The favorite's almost 60% covering this number. You have Kansas, who checks off a lot of boxes offensively, averaging 80 points a game, only 68 there for Texas. Field goal shooting, 49% versus 46%. Rebounding, 37 boards a game versus 34. So part of me is like, you know, you could get down on Texas. I don't fault anyone for grabbing, you know, 1.5 here in a contrarian inflated spot. But the money's all going toward Kansas, guys. Kansas is playing great. I'm on Kansas here, laying the minus 125 on the money line.
I think that's 3 for 3 now. The lean, I think it was, Michael. I think the lean from Thomas was Kansas. Was Kansas.
Will Hill was Kansas, yeah. Too, yeah.
And now our buddy Josh Applebaum, Kansas. Okay, we've got an NBA play from a man. Let's go Raptors-Hornets. Hornets lost Saturday night at home. They stay at home. They lost Saturday night against a Heat team that's getting healthy. Here comes Toronto. Toronto playing better basketball as well. Toronto open 1. Josh, where are you sitting now?
Yeah, we're getting movement here to the Raptors, Patrick. As you mentioned, at Raptors, a very short favorite, only laying 1. Public somewhat split, slightly into the Raptors here, but we've seen this line now creep up to 1.5 or 2. So it's always notable to me when you have a very short opening number, you know, what's the initial move? And does it jive with, hey, is there any buyback, or does it continue to go kind of in that direction? It's all been toward the Raptors here. And this is kind of one of those plays based on recent performance. You like what you see out of the Raptors. If you look at the Raptors, they've won 5 straight. Scotty Barnes, even though he may not win the Rookie of the Year, probably going to go to Mobley. He's a guy who's really putting it on and kind of filling the stat sheet here. Look at the other spot with Charlotte. They've lost 4 straight. So you have a Raptors team playing well, a Charlotte team who struggled a bit here. You also have a rest advantage. You have Toronto last playing the 4th versus the Hornets there on the 5th. And I'm really banking on the defense of the Raptors. They're 16th in the NBA in defense efficiency. You're 22nd for the Hornets here. So I'll go Raptors. I'll lay the 1.5. I like the way they're playing, and I like this movement in their direction.
I think you mispronounced Cade Cunningham's name when you talked about Rookie of the Year, who is starting to, and yes, I'm a loser that's watching the Pistons, but I'm telling you, over the past 2 weeks, he's starting to take over games, and he is. What do you have his number, Josh? Do you have the Rookie of the Year numbers in front of you? Sorry.
I can pull it up. Last I saw was Mobley, but you're totally right. Cunningham's been great, Patrick. And I know we're going different directions here, but how about your number one overall pick in the NFL draft? You're seeing some movement here toward Neil Michael. I know he's that big offensive lineman from Alabama. It was Hutchinson Thibodeau, you know, 1A, 1B. What do you think about Neil? He's been getting a lot of run. Makes sense kind of protecting, you know, Lawrence down there.
Well, I think obviously, you know, it's going to be position specific, and it's early, and it depends on who they hire as their line coach. I mean, just say hypothetically Doug Marrone returns to Jacksonville, which I think is a good chance could happen, as the line coach. Well, Marrone coached the kid from Alabama, and obviously that's a great insight for the front office of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Plus, they need to fix this offensive line. I mean, we know that. You know, could they use another rusher? Well, they've been drafting rusher. They've got Kaysan. They've got, you know, Josh Allen over there, which if they play Buffalo again, that'll make Scott Hansen tremendously happy when Josh Allen sacks Josh Allen. Well, I won't go there anyway. But I think they have those rushers, so they definitely need a left tackle.
Cade Cunningham, 6.5 to 1 is what Suggs. Matt Santos tells me. Suggs been playing great, too. The rookie class has actually been quite good. Josh, one thing we do know, Jacksonville, there's going to be a lot of ice cream sold in the Jacksonville area as Doug Peterson is in town. Let's go get some ice cream. Josh, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, betting across America. We continue. Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the association tonight in BetMGM's great partnership. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer tonight, you're going to win $200 paid for in free bets. This is for new bettors over at BetMGM. Just go to BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. And when you do, use the bonus code VSIN200, VSIN200. So again, a moneyline bet for $10. If anybody hits a three-pointer, you win $200 paid for in free bets. Also, M Life Rewards redeemable for room and dining when you bet through the app or through BetMGM.com. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. It is issued as a free bet. If you have a problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, it's a Monday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This is the Lombardi Line. Michael, I wanted to bring up a game tonight because, look, for me it's fascinating, but for the general audience it might be Miami at Washington. So this opens 7. It's down to 6. So that would maybe lend us to believe Washington's getting bet a little bit here. I don't know how you bet Washington at this point. They're 1-7 over their last 8. They're 0-5 their last 5 at home. Beals missed the last 3. By the way, on Saturday, they lost 95-80 to the Suns. The Suns rested all their starters. They were up by 34 as the fourth quarter started. 34 points. Now, I understand it's the Suns. It's the best team in basketball. But the Heat are as healthy as they've been all year. They got Lowry back. That's 8 assists a game. And, you know, we're seeing the number fall back a little bit Washington's way. This is shocking to me.
Well, I mean, Ariza, did you watch him when he played against the Sixers? He couldn't miss. I mean, Kuzma. I'm sorry.
Kuzma. He couldn't miss. Kuzma is, 16 points a game.
He couldn't miss. I mean, so if you watch that, you could say, well, heck, give me the Wizards and I'll take the 6 and go home. I mean, the Wizards are a 500 team at home. At least you could say you have that going for them, you know, and against the spread, they're 12-14. So you got that going for you. They played, you know, they want to play a slower style. They only average 106 points at home. So, you know, but I to me, this NBA is so unpredictable. It's you just can't get a handle on where this is going to go. And the Heat are playing much better. I think there's no doubt about that. In the last 10 games, the Heat, you know, they're 4-1 at home. They're just 2-3 on the road. But I think they are playing better and they're getting some continuity. And the one thing about the Heat that I think is important to note as we move forward is they have played pretty well against the East. They're 21-12 against the East.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Wizards, I think sometimes this can kind of loom over a team. They've got so many pieces, you know, Montrezl Harrell, and I mentioned Bradley Beal, that could be moved by this trade deadline. You mentioned Kuzma. Kuzma's been the one solid. I mean, he's been steady for them. But they've just got a bunch of pieces that really don't fit. And it's an interesting team because they started off the year so well. I believe they started 7-2 to start the year. And now, as you mentioned, what are they, 24-29 at this point? No. Excuse me. Yeah. They are 24-28, the Wizards, at this point. 1-7 over their last eight. So here comes now. Again, you're not as into the Heat now that you've pledged your allegiance to the 76ers?
No, I still love the Heat. I still enjoy watching the Heat. I think they play great team basketball. They center their team around their defense. And I think that as the year goes on and we improve – as they improve their defensive effort. I mean, right now they haven't been to where they give up over almost 105 points a night. I think that'll continue to get better as the year goes on, as they play with some continuity. I think one of the things that's hard to judge this NBA, Patrick, is the lack of continuity from week to, from game to game.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even know who the hell's going to start. I mean, it's just really, it's a challenge to even know that, you know, and you've got to be prepared for that. You know, tonight there's, what, 5 games in the NBA. Tomorrow there's a bunch more, but you know, it's always challenging to see who's playing and who's not.
Well, I'll give you another example. It's a great matchup on paper. Phoenix at Chicago tonight, Michael. So this number opened Phoenix laying 6. It's up to 8. The Suns are just so locked in defensively. And we talk about effort. You know, the fact that whether it's in the half court or transition, the Suns have just been awesome, both offensively and defensively, frankly. But they show up every single night. And then the question marks, the Bulls, who are, you know, the 5th best record in basketball. Now, they've lost 2 of 3. LaVine probably continues to be out. Kobe White probably continues to be out. So they're a little thin right now as far as roster. DeRozan, remember, they lost to your Philadelphia 76ers. Yesterday? No, 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Was it Saturday or was it Sunday? It was Sunday, wasn't it?
It was yesterday.
And I mean, think about this. DeRozan, 45, and Vucevic, 23, and they still lost. So
no, they couldn't get anything out of their bench.
Yeah,
I mean, they couldn't
just
get anything
so
out of the bench.
They're so thin right now.
And Philly shot really well. I mean, Philly, when Philly starts hitting those threes and they can space the court, Embiid had 42, which really helped. And Maxey comes in with his 18, and Tobias, I think, had 23 or something. So they played pretty well. I think the one thing about the Bulls, which is why the line, I think, is moving to the Suns, is because they're beat up. They're just not their same team. And if you look over the last 10 games, they're 3-7. So they're in one of those, they can't get their roster right in terms of getting everything going.
Yeah, and the Suns have won 12 of 13. Getting healthy, a few games back, they got Ayton. Ayton was tremendous on Saturday in the win. So, again, just wanted to note that number has jumped from the Suns open 6. They're bet up to 8 in Chicago. But to Michael's point, Chicago, will LaVine play? My guess is he won't. I don't think Kobe White's going to play. So they're a little thin right now, Patrick Williams and others. I meant to tell you this as far as when we were talking about the coaching hires, how about, and you could do a lot worse than this in New York if you're Dayball, they're going to interview Wink Martindale.
Yeah, they are. I think they've already had a Wink Martindale interview. I think that they've done Zoom calls. They've got more interviews to do this week. I think Steve Wilkes will come in, interview, and you know, maybe Jim Schwartz will even come in and talk to them as well. They've done a lot of Zoom calls, and then they move to the next phase. So I think Martindale's going to have his chances. Certainly there was talk about Jacksonville, and there was talk about there's a lot of interest in Martindale in Minnesota, so he'll get an opportunity and pick one of those places to go to. But I think the surprise was that Graham left, and that opened up the Giant job because everybody kind of thought Graham was going to stay on, and this gives Martindale a chance to get back into being a coordinator, whether it's Minnesota or the Giants.
May I ask you, because I haven't looked into it, Deflategate has been trending today. Is there a reason Deflategate is back in the news?
There's something that came out. I don't know. There's something that came. Look, Deflategate was a complete, and I've said this since day one, a complete fabrication. It was a complete story that was generated out of nothing, and it was and the mythology continued because the worldwide leader generated the story, and they could keep promoting the story, you know. And we lost a first round draft pick because of it, and $1 million. And there was not. I mean, remember this? The story was that there were the 10 footballs that they took, or the 12 footballs they took. They said 11 of them in a column on Monday morning were all bad. And then when they found out they weren't, I mean, it really was something that all of us in the Patriot building were like looking around saying, what is this? What is going on here? Like, it made no sense, and still makes no sense to me at all either.
About 7 years ago, Deflategate, the stories that are starting to perpetuate on social are favorable towards your Patriots and Brady. And so,
I mean, it was a non-story. I said it then. It's like, you know, we are so caught up in the moment. We are so caught up in the actual moment that nobody really gets a chance to view the whole thing. And the fact that they ruled down on that, the league office, the commissioner did, and took away a first round draft pick and $1 million from Robert Kraft's bank account, to me is without really any proof that the balls were altered or that the balls had any effect on the game. I mean, like, you know, I think we were up 17-7 at the half and it just steamrolled them in the second half when nobody had any visual evidence of the footballs or any of that. So it kind of was a non-story. That was always a non-story as far as I was concerned, that became because the way the media is, they can continue to continue to spread a story even when there's not a story there.
And a story that doesn't look good for the Saints and Alvin Kamara. This is one I forgot to bring up. So Kamara is allegedly being charged for battery that resulted in substantial bodily harm here in Vegas. After the Pro Bowl, went out, got into some sort of scuffle, and has been arrested here in New Orleans. Not a good look for Alvin Kamara.
No, not a good look. Not a good look for the Saints. And look, let's face it. I mean, you're in a city where there's a lot to do. We know the game isn't very taxing. You've got to be really on top of your behavior. And these things are going to come out, and I think it's important. And if you're a team and you've got players going to the Pro Bowl, you want to make sure your team guy's there, too, to not only say be the parental guardian, but also remind the players that this is not a place to just to do whatever you want to do.
Do you buy into that, the idea of players being titillated here? I mean, either you're a good dude or you're not, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but there also is, to me, you're in a situation where Belichick would call it the trifecta, you know, where there's a lot of things coming together that pull players to and people try to entice players into doing something, you know, into their behavior, and you've got to be mentally tough not to fall privy to it.
Okay, Michael, enjoy your Monday. I encourage a daily coach, by the way, that great article about the head coaches.
Thank you, Patrick.
And some of the data and maybe thinking about it
a little bit
differently.
Enjoy your couple of days off, okay, Patrick. We'll talk Thursday.
I'll see you on Thursday, buddy. We got a big Super
Bowl.
I think, a big game coming up on Sunday. We'll have plenty of coverage. Of course, we'll be here on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday on the Lombardi Line. Odds On is coming up next with Amal and Mike.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.